friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Wednesday's show is athletics. The final Diamond League meeting was the Muller British Grand Prix in Gateshead in the northwest of England Tuesday night, and it produced plenty of talking points before the Olympic Games begin next week. The USA's Trayvon Bromell confirmed his status as the leading contender for the 100 meters gold in Tokyo. And there is a new star among the distance runners with African ties who has been making headlines wherever he goes. The energetic Andy Edwards in London watched the action. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The man who has been causing a stir on the track from 1,500 to 5,000 metres is Mohamed Khatir, born in Morocco, but now a Spanish citizen, who is currently ranked number two in the world at those distances, when his name was barely mentioned a year ago as a medal contender. His rise to date has been meteoric, but once you see him in action, you sense his great physical power and will to win. He broke the Spanish record to win the 3,000 metres in Gateshead, finding a strong finish to beat the Australian Stuart McSween, who is also having a fine season. Khatir's time was 7 minutes 27.64, a national record for Spain, and he shows he can win come rain or shine. He won the 5,000 metres on the same track in a rainstorm at the first of Gateshead's two Diamond League meetings 5 weeks ago. He's an exuberant character, a showman in track and field, and it wouldn't be a surprise if he were among the medals in Tokyo. Following defeat in the 100 in Monaco 4 days ago, the American Trayvon Bromell looked in much better sorts and confirmed his status as the man to beat for the Olympic title. Bromell is no giant, but a smooth stylist, and won in 9.98 seconds, having won the US Olympic trials last month and also run the season's fastest time of 9.77 in June. Bromell will not have happy memories of the Olympics in Rio 4 years ago when he injured his Achilles in the sprint relay. If he stays injury-free, Tokyo this time could bring him the best experience of his competitive life. Among the women's sprinters, Jamaica's double Olympic champion Elaine Thompson-Herah looked in good shape when winning the 200 in 22.43, ahead of the Briton Jodie Williams and Nigeria's Blessing Okogbare in third. The latter a World Championship bronze medalist at the distance 8 years ago, but she remains a contender for the final in Tokyo. Uganda's Winnie Nanyondo was fifth in the mile, won by the American Kate Grace, who has struck form on her European tour after failing to make the US Olympic team. The women's 400 hurdles promises to be one of the outstanding competitions at the Olympics, with the USA's world record holder Sydney McLaughlin facing strong opposition. In Gateshead, the Dutch hurdler Femke Bol added another win to her portfolio, beating the American Shamir Little. Bol might not be quite at the stage to finish among the medals, but her prospects are really bright. She is currently fourth fastest on the world all-time list for the 400 hurdles. This was the last Diamond League meeting before the Olympic Games begin on July 23rd, with the track and field competition getting underway a week later. Gateshead marked a pause on the world and European tour for the athletes. For the American Sandy Morris, winner of the women's pole vault with 4 metres 76 at her first attempt, it must be especially sweet to have the chance to regroup. She jumps in Gateshead with her own poles, but at her previous outing, and as happens not infrequently with vaulters, her collection of poles didn't arrive in time and she had to borrow from competitors. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. The Olympic athletes who are in Tokyo or getting ready to travel to Tokyo will face tough rules because of the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
Courtney Freericks will soon face off in Tokyo against some of the world's fastest runners.
But like every athlete preparing for the Summer Olympics, her focus is not only on competition. Frerichs, a middle distance runner from the United States, is also spending the final days of training, making sure she complies with the elaborate set of pandemic rules.
We've just been trying to reread over the protocols and everything to make sure that we're, checking all of our boxes and getting all the stuff done. And then, on top of that, understanding, what are the rules of contact tracing. And it's a lot.
Frerichs spoke to VOA in a recent phone call between training sessions in Portland, Oregon. She's quick to point out she understands why the rules are necessary.
It's a pretty serious matter, that we're still in this, a global pandemic. It certainly adds another level of stress to everything.
The official rules for athletes are laid out in a 70-page playbook, which basically reads like a gigantic bummer. One section warns you should eat alone as much as possible. Another says you must not walk around the city. Hugs, high fives, and handshakes, all forbidden. Alcohol isn't allowed either, unless athletes consume it inside their rooms. Athletes must also submit a detailed activity plan explaining where they will be at every moment of every day. Once an athlete's competitions are done, they must leave Japan within 48 hours.
We come in, we have a job to do, and then we leave. I literally depart the next day.
Since the event is being held in the middle of a global pandemic, some news outlets have labeled it the no fun or cursed Olympics. Jack Tarrant is a Tokyo-based freelance journalist covering the event.
Being here 2 weeks before the game starts, there's almost no enthusiasm at all. There's very little fanfare. There's very little visually that you see on the streets, any sort of banners or welcoming signs for foreign visitors and athletes. It's really very unusual and very, very different to any other Olympic experience.
Polls suggest most Japanese oppose holding the games, which were already delayed a year because of the pandemic. Concerns were heightened after a recent surge in COVID-19 infections, prompting a state of emergency in Tokyo. That's a sharp contrast from other Olympics, where celebration is a main component, even for athletes.
There would be the usual time to unwind and meet other athletes and have a well-deserved celebration after 4, or in this case 5 years of preparations.
But David Girard, a former Olympic swimmer from New Zealand, says the focus will be on competition.
Anybody who thinks these are going to be the boring Olympics really has got the wrong idea of what the Olympics is all about.
Girard should know. He first competed at the Tokyo Olympics in 1964. This will be his 11th Summer Olympics at which he has competed or attended. He'll work this year on a medical team.
They're not a meeting of people who want to sightsee or shop. They are an accumulation of the world's best athletes who are there to do one thing, and that's perform to the best of their abilities.
But will the rules, and specifically the empty stadiums, mean athletes will lack the fuel needed for spectacular performances? Not necessarily. A year and a half into the pandemic, athletes are now more accustomed to performing without fans, says Frerichs. Well, she says there will be a missing element, she's looking forward to the mental and physical challenge.
Trying to remember, all the training days where it was just, you and coach out there and you got the job done.
Frerichs says she's trying to approach the games like a business trip, which isn't how she envisioned things. But like many athletes, she says she's grateful the Olympics are happening at all. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Thanks, Bill. Almost all of the athletes from the refugee Olympic team have had their arrival at the Tokyo Games delayed after a team official tested positive for the coronavirus. The International Olympic Committee says 26 refugee athletes from around the world will stay and train in Qatar. It's not clear when they will go to Japan. The unidentified official who tested positive was put into isolation by Qatari authorities. The other athletes and officials have tested negative. Meanwhile, the IOC says two athletes and a coach from the refugee Olympic team who had trained elsewhere were scheduled to arrive in Tokyo Wednesday.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100-hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Kendra Harrison is hoping to win her first Olympic medal for Team USA at the Tokyo Games. Another member of Team USA is Katie Zafiris, a former world triathlon champion who is currently training for Tokyo in Spain. In the second part of her interview with Dan Friedel, Katie said she'll be leaving for Japan on Sunday.
So we leave on the 18th and get in on the 19th. I will be staying in the village, and you really can only go to different training venues, your race venue, and then back to the village, which I think would be more overwhelming, except that's probably one of the positives of having raced last year in during the COVID time, and also racing Yokohama and Leeds this year, and just kind of adapting to the new restrictions, the new flow of race week, which is a little bit more, it has a little bit more to it. It's a little more complicated than maybe what we would do normally. But I think having done all those races and a little bit knowing what I'm in for makes it a lot more calming. And it's nice because as people go to the Olympics, as they start getting into Tokyo, we kind of get the feedback from the different federations and the different sports and just the different staff members who are there to say like, okay, this is kind of how things are happening so that we don't go in completely like blindsided.
We're talking on the Sunny Side of Sports with Katie Zafiris, a USA triathlete who's getting ready to head to Tokyo for the Olympics. One of the stories I saw recently was about how there might be some changes to the opening ceremony, that sort of thing. Will athletes even go? What have you heard about the Team USA plans for that night, and what are your plans?
So it's a hard decision for me right now because one of my goals after Rio was to make sure that I fully took into the Olympic experience if I was granted another one. So going into Tokyo, one of my goals is to take in the full experience. However, the opening ceremonies are just enough days before our race that I'm like, ooh, because even though it's an amazing experience, it also is one where you're going to be standing a lot and it's just a lot of time. So for me, I'm trying to make the decision whether going will give me more energy or take more energy. And at this point, I'm probably leaning towards not actually going to the ceremonies, but maybe doing like the pre-Olympic Village celebrations. And I think for like each athlete, that's it's hard because you're wanting to go and celebrate, especially like with COVID. It kind of feels like the Olympics is a great time to be overcoming all the adversities that we've been dealing with. But either way, we'll definitely be taking in the spirit of the opening ceremonies, whether I'm actually there in person or not.
So, Katie, we've been following your progress over the last year or so. It's been great to see you back racing and following your social media posts where you've been describing some of the training and that sort of thing that you've been doing, the swimming and the running and the cycling. How do you feel? You've got about 2 weeks, right? How do you feel leading into it as far as, you know, your training has gone and what you think your capacity might be to perform well on the day of your race?
I feel really good. I feel like everything's coming together just at the right time. Right now I'm tired from training, but that's okay because I don't want to feel fresh today. I want to feel ready to go come the start line in Tokyo. And I just feel like everything from basically my lifetime has built up to help prepare me for the Tokyo start line and everything I've learned since Rio. And that was one of my biggest goals going into Tokyo, was just taking everything I learned since my last Olympics and using it come race day. And that's everything from like the mental skills side of things to the physical work that has just accumulated over time, the skills that I've been developing and
finessing as I've gotten more experience in racing and on the bike and everything. And I think just becoming more mature as an athlete and having more years under my belt is what makes me feel confident going into race day.
Yeah, that sounds good. So out of curiosity, like, what are two things that you think about as you're at the start line? Do you have a couple of key things that you try to focus on to say, you know, I really need to check these two boxes as I'm competing, and then I know I'm going to have a good race? Is it something that's as simple as that?
Well, on the start line, I'm just thinking first buoy. Really thinking about just like nailing that first part of the swim and getting out fast so that I'm in a good position. And but things that, like, kind of different mantras that I use leading into the race is, I'm ready, I'm prepared. I may not feel strong, but I am strong. That's not like normally what I'm thinking about before, but during when times get tough. And then also just, I think one of the biggest things is remembering, because race day, you might have weaknesses or deficits, but like, you can't do anything about them on race day. So one of the things that I always take into account is like, I'm strong enough to like overcome this, like, and I focus more on my strengths than any deficits that I might have that I work on in like training, say. But come race day, it's all about where my strengths are.
We're talking with Katie Zafiris on the Sunny Side of Sports. Katie is just about ready to wrap up her training in Spain and get on that plane to go to Tokyo and get acclimated to the Olympic environment and the Olympic Village. Katie, it's been really great to get a chance to know you over this last year and a half that we've been talking, and we wish you all the luck in the world as you take that start line in Tokyo. We'll be rooting for you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's Olympic triathlete Katie Zafiris. And Katie was talking with Dan Friedel from Spain, where she's been training for the Tokyo Olympics. Thanks to Dan for that interview, and good luck to Katie Zafiris at the Tokyo Olympics.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, crisis in the Caribbean. In the wake of the assassination of Haitian President Jovenel Moïse, how best can the United States help Haiti pursue justice? And what role should Washington play in addressing the popular protests against the Cuban government? We'll talk with two regional experts about U.S. policy toward Haiti and Cuba. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falelat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Falelat. It's been 13 years since Nigeria won a medal in track and field at the Olympics. At the 2008 Beijing Games, Nigeria's 4x100 meters women's relay team won a silver medal, and Blessing Okagbare won another silver in the women's long jump. Now, Okagbare will compete in the sprint events at the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. She and Nigeria's other track and field athletes will be rewarded if they win a medal in Tokyo. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, Ibrahim Gusau.
For all the Nigerian athletes that have qualified for the athletics team, I wish them a very, very successful outing. They've worked hard, they've trained hard. It's not easy to qualify for Olympics, but they've qualified. So all I have to say to them is a very, very good acting, a very good outing, and successful time in there.
Do you have any special package or incentive for medal winners in track and field?
Yes, we are indeed. Personally, I have packages that I prepared for any medalist. Any medalist that wins any medal, as personally as the President of Athletics Federation of Nigeria, I feel as is an incentive to motivate them. If you recall, some years ago at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, I promised if any Nigerian wins a medal, a gold medal, I will compensate. And of course, Blessing Okagbare, our golden girl, got that gold medal, and of course I personally compensated that with an SUV car, a brand new SUV. So we have packages for that. This is aside from what the Athletics Federation will do. I have my packages that I will do for them as an incentive, and the Federation of course will meet and agree and decide on what to do again to motivate them, because it's not an easy task to even qualify to be an Olympian. Okay, coupled with the fact that getting a medal out there would have been another thing.
What are the medal chances or prospects of Team Nigeria's track and field athletes at the Tokyo Games?
On the medal chances, yes, I'm very, very hopeful. I'm very hopeful. There are certain areas that I think Nigerians will do very well. So I'm very hopeful Nigeria will come back with some medals. I would say I'm not very comfortable with the preparations. There should have been better preparations, even though athletes were allowed to do their own preparations on themselves, but there would have been an organized preparations for them. We had plans for that, but of course you knew what was going on in the federations, and that affected what our plans are. But I hope Nigeria will be out there to do its best and fly our colors.
That's Ibrahim Gusau, the president of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
More Olympic news. Swiss tennis star Roger Federer has pulled out of the Tokyo Games, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Roger Federer says he won't compete in the Tokyo Olympics after having a setback with his knee. Federer had said before Wimbledon that he would make a decision about going to the Summer Games after the Grand Slam tournament ended. Federer lost in the quarterfinals of the All England Club last week to Hubert Hurkacz. Also in Olympic tennis, Britain's Johanna Konta won't compete in the Games after testing positive for COVID-19. She was dropped from Wimbledon just over 2 weeks ago when a member of her team contracted the virus. I'm Dave Ferry.
The U.S. National Institute of Aging describes Alzheimer's disease as a progressive and irreversible brain condition that slowly destroys a person's memory and ability to think. It can also affect the patient's family and friends. This is Rick Pantaleo. Please listen to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA for a discussion on Alzheimer's disease and other forms of irreversible dementia. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Rick. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With only 9 days to go before the Olympic Games opening ceremony, the Media Press Center in Tokyo officially opened to international journalists who will be covering the global sporting event. VOA's Gwen Uten has more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Media Press Center is located at Tokyo Big Sight, the largest exhibition center in the Japanese capital. Organizers expect up to 6,000 media personnel to use the facility throughout the Olympics. Olympic Games. Brazilian sports writer Andre Rossi is one of them, and he tells Reuters News, despite working during the coronavirus pandemic, he's happy to be among the journalists covering the Tokyo Games.
Of course, the outbreak brings us some worries about us, especially if the event was going to happen or not, because we are really excited to come here. And we got very happy that we are here already. Okay, we know that maybe the protocols and the situation itself made some limits, but we understand this because the safety is more important. And even with this, we are very excited to have this experience of being in the Olympic Games.
Due to the pandemic, members of the media flying into Japan must first test negative for COVID-19. And upon arrival, their whereabouts will be closely tracked and monitored throughout the games. Efforts are being made to ensure that broadcasters remain safe inside the media press center. And New Zealand sports writer Guy Hewaldt says he's taking every precaution.
We are following the guidelines really closely. I've used a bottle of hand sanitizer and about 3 days already, wearing masks all the time. And look, the Japanese people are wonderful. The volunteers here have been fantastic. I think it's well set out. It's well, they're doing everything they can to guard against COVID getting out any further than it already is. So I feel entirely safe. I've got to be honest. I really do feel entirely safe.
Journalists will be reporting on a startling difference from any past Olympic Games, the absence of fans. Last week, the Japanese government announced that no spectators will be allowed at any event under Tokyo's current state of emergency. But athletes will be cheered on virtually, thanks to advanced technology at the newly opened International Broadcast Center in Tokyo. Olympic Broadcasting Services CEO Yanis Exarchos says, the interactive technology will give fans in Japan and around the world the thrill of the Olympic Games from the comfort of their own homes.
OBS, together with the organizing committee and our rights-holding broadcasters, we have created a few tools that essentially will allow viewers, followers, fans from all over the world to be able to have a sense of presence, not just by watching the games, but also by being able to post their reactions, their cheers, their videos, and this will make it all the way into the competition venues. So in this way, we will create again a sense within the competition venues of international presence, because we may have only local physical spectators, but the games of Tokyo probably are going to be the most followed games ever. So it's important that the athletes always have this sense that people back from their own countries, from around the world, they're helping them and supporting them.
And just like for journalists, Exarchos says health protocols will be in place for athletes to keep them safe.
Very, very importantly, we have established special rules and special access zones for the athletes so that we keep a very safe level of distancing and safety protocols with the athletes when they visit the IBC, when they go to the studios. So we are very, very confident that this is going to be a very safe operation.
On the same day the media press center opened, the Athletes Olympic Village quietly opened its doors. And afterwards, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach said, despite the challenges organizers have faced during the pandemic, Tokyo is the best ever prepared host city to stage the Olympic Games. We're now 9 days away from the Olympic Games opening ceremony on July 23rd. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And here are a few fun Olympic facts. Japan is hosting the Olympics for the fourth time. The Summer Games were held in Tokyo in 1964. The Winter Games were held in Sapporo in 1972 and Nagano in 1998. There are 42 Olympic venues spread across Japan for the upcoming Games. Race walking and the Olympic marathons were moved out of Tokyo to Sapporo because of concerns about the heat.
up the July 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.